Welcome to Southern Man, Western Town with your host, J.S. Lawrence, the podcast for the independent artist. Like, follow, and subscribe wherever it may be that you listen to podcasts. Join us once a week for interviews and music from artists all over the world, entertainers, comedians, musicians, actors, writers, introducing you to art that you may not be aware of, and bringing you art that you are aware of and already love. What up, everybody? Jeff Lawrence here with Southern Man Western Town, playing through a really shitty Washburn amp with a pretty decent, banging around on my, Ibanez. Today on the show, Brian Eyre. It's not spelled air like A-I-R, it's E-Y-R-E, B-R-I-A-N-E-Y-R-E, Brian Eyre. He's a modern-day fingerstyle guitarist. And why I'm saying modern fingerstyle guitarist is because when you think fingerstyle, you know, a lot of times you think like a classical style, Travis Pick kind of Dust in the Wind, for those of you that aren't musicians, a kind of James Taylor type guitar playing. But Brian, along with a lot of others these days, are doing what they call modern fingerstyle, where it's a lot of percussive stuff. It often sounds like two guitars, sometimes three guitars going on at the same time. You'll hear like the percussion, they'll pop the strings with their thumb or hit the actual wood of the guitar body or the neck. I don't really play that way. I've never even really experimented much with it. I think I've probably tried it a couple of times, but never really was my thing. To me, in my own personal style, it just doesn't work that way. I don't know. I'm kind of a melody guy. I like to come up with a simple melody and kind of make somebody feel something with the melody. Which, not saying that they're not doing that, it's just a lot more complicated to do. And it seems like if I was going to do that, I would probably have so much going on in my brain, the melody might take a back road, because I'd have to concentrate on the technique too much. But these guys got it down. It's definitely melodic music. I love it. It's great if you're just in a mellow mood, maybe driving through the country, I don't know, maybe just don't want to rock out. but Brian calls me from Pennsylvania, about close to an hour out of Philadelphia. So good to have him on the show. I really like his music. Just remember to spell his name right, E-Y-R-E. But it sounds like air when you say it. And he gives all his links and everything. But you can find his music on Spotify and, you know, same places you can find mine and everybody else's. Spotify, iTunes, and all that. If you are in the Ogden, Utah area this coming Friday, which is the 20... No, I'm sorry, this coming Saturday, which is the 21st, I will be playing with my band. Actually playing with a new drummer. Never played with before, so it's going to be interesting. But he's good. He's actually my next-door neighbor. Plays in a thrash band called... I don't know, they don't really call it thrash anymore. I don't know what you call it, hardcore metal or... I don't know what kind of genre metal they'd consider it. I don't want to mislabel it, but it's, you know, what I'm getting at. It's heavy. Actually, he lives next door to me. James Laughter, he's going to be filling in on the drums. I'm kind of out of his element because he's, you know, like I said, he's constantly playing the heavy stuff. It's probably heavy. It's probably harder to play than my stuff, but it's either way, a change of pace. But we'll be playing at the Funkin' Dive. Opening up for Balls, Capone, Funkin' Dive is up there on right on Washington Boulevard and kind of in the basement of the Harp and the Hound, I think is what it's called, down in the basement there. It used to be an old blues bar back in the day, but if you're in the Ogden, Utah area on the 22nd, I'm sorry, I'll say that again, the 21st, what the hell am I doing here? So, it's the 21st, but it's Saturday. Getting my days and dates all screwed up. But then on the August 22nd, at 2 p.m., I'll be back with my regular drummer and a bass guy, same guy, Doug's playing my bass. We'll be up in Park City at the Park Silly Market on the main stage. I'm playing for a couple hours up there outside. Should be cool. Should be a nice day if you're in the Park City area. It's right in the middle of the market on Main Street. They shut down the Main Street on Sunday, and everybody's just kind of walking around. It's hard to park in Park City. It's called Park City, but there's nowhere to park. And it's kind of a conundrum, but you can always park down somewhere by the grocery store or the high school and bus over. There is parking lots if you want to, you know, may have to walk a half mile. That ain't ever hurt nobody, has it, unless you got some, you know, you got limitations. But they have elevators and whatnot for that, disabled parking. But anyway, yeah, that's when my band will be at those two places. And then the week after that, on the 28th, we'll be back in Sugar House, which is basically Salt Lake, like the cooler part of Salt Lake, on the 28th, back at Hopkins Brewing Company, which I'm kind of excited about that because I like that place a lot. I'm excited about all the gigs. A little nervous about the Funkin' Dive gig this coming Saturday because of just not, you know, never playing with my neighbor before. But should be fine. So come on out. We'll probably only play in like an hour, 10 minutes, hour 15, something like that. And then we'll play twice as long the day after on that Sunday. But anyway, after this little intro, you're going to hear The One About Hope, which is a song by Brian Eyre. And, you know, you definitely go over and check out all his stuff. It's really good. If you're into that kind of, you know, more mellow acoustic type music with this instrumental, which is, you know, a lot of my fans are into that because I do a lot of that too. I just don't really do the modern. What I do isn't considered modern finger style. It's just kind of the classic finger style. And I tend to dub over my stuff with another guitar, which is still me, but so it makes it complicated to play live that way. But anyway, go over and definitely check his stuff out. And, you know, if you're in the Pennsylvania area, and I guess he's west of Philadelphia, you can just go to his website. He's got some new stuff coming out soon and all that. So definitely, but The One About Hope is the song you're going to hear after this intro. Then we'll cut right in with the interview with Brian Eyre. I'm going to try to play you out here. Thank you. Joining me right now is Brian Eyre. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
I want to apologize for yesterday. I know we were supposed to do this interview yesterday. It just got kind of crazy out here. The smoke was so thick, nobody could even see in front of them, and it was a mess.
I understand. No problem.
Where are you calling me from?
From Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, which is it's about like maybe 45 minutes out of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering. I knew you were East Coast. I didn't know exactly where you were at. I've had a couple of people on from Pennsylvania. A guy that makes guitars. I can't think of his name now. He out that way. So you play mainly a fingerstyle, I was noticing, but it's a little bit more than that. Do you call it new fingerstyle now? Some people do, or what do you consider what you do?
I think a lot of people refer to it as modern fingerstyle guitar.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I've had Alexander Misko on and Nick Johnson, guys that are in that pretty big in that genre, and I think that's what they said it was. Because if you just say fingerstyle, they just think you're Travis Pickin or classical style guitar.
Right,
but yours is a little more percussive.
Right, yeah.
And I read a little bit about how you got started doing that, but why don't you tell everybody how you got into that? I'm sure you started another way and then kind of ventured into that.
Right, as is common, yeah. Well, I came up really as an electric lead player, and which I really enjoyed, and I started off actually acoustic early and then electric lead player for many years and played in bands, did original material and those sorts of things. And, but what I found is, you know, life happens. You know, I didn't really have the opportunities at certain points to play in bands. So, and when I was playing just lead guitar myself, I just didn't feel like there was enough for me to do. So, in the business world, I was working with a guy, and I had heard that he was a guitar player. So I asked him, you know, what kind of stuff do you do? And he said fingerstyle. And honestly, up until that point, I had never even heard that term before.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I said to him, you mean like finger picking? And he laughed. He goes, well, kind of. You know, it was almost the conversation we just had.
Now, when was this?
This was like 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, it really filled, you know, that thing where you're doing the whole thing, one instrument playing the whole thing. And I just really got hooked. And then from there, it was just figuring out what kind of meant. And you know, the rest is history, you know?
Yeah, I find that cool, because I can understand where you're coming from as far as being a lead player and kind of being stuck, because I kind of still am, because I don't think I'm ever going to go that route as far as the modern fingerstyle. I still like kind of being the Larry Carlton kind of guy.
Right, right.
So I've
which
just...
Which I've heard, and which is excellent, actually.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Quite a good player, yeah.
And I rely, you know, I can't do a lot of my fingerstyle acoustic stuff live because I dub it. I dub so many things over it in the studio, and I say, you guys are just doing it on one guitar.
Right, right. And that's kind of part of the challenge of it. And some of the fun of it, too, is, you know, figuring out, you know, how to go about doing it. It's like figuring out a puzzle, you know, when you're writing something.
It seems everybody points back to Michael Hedges. Is that where you started?
Oh yeah. Well,
seems like everybody mentions him.
I mean, I really consider him to be like sort of the father of this modern fingerstyle guitar. And I mean, he was so far ahead of his time. And there are people that came before him, Leo Kottke, you know, others, and it's a lot of Chet Atkins, a lot of really incredible players. But to really bring it forward in this kind of style, percussive, you know, and also compositionally sort of including a lot of different kinds of elements in the compositions. He really set the tone.
Yeah, I was going to, you kind of answered my question. I was going to ask you that, if you thought he was kind of the father of this style, but I guess you kind of answered that. But I need to listen to more of him. I used to listen to him when he first came out, and I just kind of, I don't remember a lot of it for some reason. I don't know why I didn't listen more. I'm going to have to go back.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was out in California. I just got back last week, but part of it was at a what's called Andy McKee. I probably heard of him.
Yeah.
So he has a thing called the Musicarium, and so this is my third time going to that. And each time there's like a section of the event that's like more or less dedicated to Michael Hedges. He passed away a number of years ago, but it was kind of dedicated to him, and it really inspires you, you know, when you hear this, and hear other players that you know are really great players, sort of play tribute to him and playing his material.
Right. But back to your stuff, do you play in a lot of open tunings?
I do. I play mostly in, you know, open or alternate tunings. I've got like 12 that I use.
Do you have a favorite? I've got a lot of guitar nerds listed to the show, so you can get as deep as you want into that.
Just let it all out, yeah. Well, the one that I... In the record that I've been releasing off of recently here, which is called 12 Piece Puzzle, but I'm releasing it singles as opposed to an album form at this point, at least on the streaming services. But three of the songs that are on there are in B A D F sharp A D, which I like a lot. And that's a fairly recent tuning that I've started writing in, but it was, you know, you hit a rich vein.
So it's kind of a D major, but let's see what's different.
Yeah, I like the depth, the deepness of the B bass.
You know,
it's two and a half steps down. I just really like that. And it's a bit of a variation on Dadgad, which I use Dadgad.
Right, right. I've done a little on that.
Yeah.
Do you ever play in a C6?
And when you say C6, what would the what would the tuning configuration be?
Well, you would basically have the sixth string and the fourth string and the second string all be C's. So you drop the C on the low string.
Uh-huh.
And same thing on the fourth string, and then your second string, you'd go up a half step.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would, I think everything else is the same to make it a C6. Let me see. Yeah. Then everything else stays the same. The fifth A makes it a six.
Now, I may have played in that before, but I've not written in that tuning before. But the closest that I have to that is CGDFAC, which is the C is both the bass and the both E's are C's.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
And actually, it's interesting because I was a buddy of mine that, you know, we play together sometimes. He's like singer-songwriter guy, and Dave Fiebert. And so he came to a gig one night, and he had this little piece of paper in his pocket with CGDFAC written on it. And it's actually a Stephen Stills tuning. I didn't get it from Stephen Stills, obviously, but I get it from this little piece of paper. So I said, well, great. I said, let me give it a try. And then that was a rich vein, too. You know, there was actually probably three things on the first record was in that tuning, and one in this record that I've been releasing off of now.
Yeah.
I really like that tuning a lot, too.
Reason why I brought up the C6 is I just find you can get, it's really versatile. I can get these like Middle Eastern type sounds out of it, but I can get Delta blues out of it too. It's kind of
well, that's neat.
Yeah,
I'll give it a whirl.
And and I just started playing in open A a little bit. I've never done much of that, but
mm-hmm.
All the women stopped listening to the show now. I actually have a lot of women guitar players that listen to the show, but so what's your latest release? I think I can't remember what I was listening to you on, if it was Bandcamp, SoundCloud, or Spotify. It was probably all three. But
yeah, and I'm on just like all of them. But the latest release is a song called Every Living Thing. And that's a song that's in that B-A-D, F-sharp, A-D tuning.
Okay.
And tuning I really like. And the one that I released before that was a song called Working the Clock, which is a dadgad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people have discovered that tuning, but the other ones probably not.
Yeah, the next one that I have coming up actually is that releases on August 20th.
Okay.
Is a song called Where Does It Come From?
So are you releasing one song at a time kind of thing, or?
Yeah, I have been. I think what I'm going to do is probably in the next month or so, I think what I'm going to do is release the whole album, all 10 songs on Ten Piece Puzzle, to my Bandcamp and my website.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought I'm doing that too now, just for like one song at a time. Seems like that makes the most sense in today's climate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's all an experiment, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but CDs have just came. I mean, it's almost irrelevant to bring a CD to a gig now. They don't really buy them, and I don't. You know, it's kind of turns into a business card. I don't even think people have anything to play CDs on anymore.
Yeah. I know.
As far as gigging and stuff goes, do you play out a lot? Do you go into Philadelphia or?
Well, I haven't been playing out really at all. Except until the last few months or so, because of the pandemic.
Right, right.
But I do play out. I like to play out. Being a solo fingerstyle instrumental guitar player that does originals, there's a sort of a, it has to be the right sort of situation.
Right.
So it matches what people are going to expect when they get there. But I've also done some where I partnered with another, like a singer-songwriter, that that also does covers and those sorts of things. And then they'll do a few songs, and I'll do a few songs, and then we sort of switch on and off. And that also gives me an opportunity to go and go into another tuning and then come back all tuned so the whole audience doesn't have to sit there and watch me do my guitar.
Right.
And that opens up opportunities, you know, because then it's a little more rounded, a show, when people aren't expecting to hear original material.
Yeah, what I've always done in that situation, because I've done a lot of original acoustic shows, they've never actually been shows. I get gigs at like kind of upscale restaurants, and I'm just kind of playing in the background, and they don't care if it's an original. They don't know what it is.
Right.
And then they, you know, a lot of times corporate kind of events where people are just kind of walking around and not really paying attention. That's kind of seems like kind of gigs I get when I do that kind of thing, but I kind of like it. I don't really, you know, I like it that way, really. I don't have to be a performance to me.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and I think the main thing from my point of view is I want people that are interested to hear it.
Right.
That's the number one thing.
And you can pique their interest, you know, when you're doing a restaurant or something. They're always going to come up and tip you and ask you, you know, where can I hear your music? And then pretty soon they're listening to your music in their cars and stuff, which that's kind of my goal.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's always shows and stuff. I was going to ask you that. There's some show that everybody goes to. I don't think it's NAMM. I know NAMM, but there's another one where I know, like, Nick Johnson and Scott Bravo and a couple of guys go to Nashville to some show for fingerstyle stuff. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know the name of it, but...
Well, there's I think, a couple of things. One, I think there's, I haven't been to it, but there's a competition that I believe is done in Nashville. And I know of a couple of players that have gone and played in that.
Oh, that might be what it is, yeah.
There's another one, too, which is the Fingerstyle Collective. And it's a combination of Candy Rat Records and Fret Monkey Records have put it on. Unfortunately, the last couple of years, including this year, it was canceled because of the... because of the pandemic. But that's also a really, you know, big event for fingerstyle guitar players.
Yeah. What do you feel, how you feel about the competition part of it?
I've seen them, and they're enjoyable to watch. I just don't see it as a competition personally. You know, so I've not been in a competition before, but I've seen several of them, and they're a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I don't think I would ever be in one. I would like to watch one, but I don't think I would ever try to be. I don't really want to, because I don't know. It's all in perspective of who's better than you. I mean, it doesn't really. I mean, to me, it's like whatever music moves the individual. They're the best to that person, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I would rather learn from people, and that's one of the things I really like, by the way, of this Andy McKee Musicarium that I mentioned before. It's really, you've got Andy McKee and Tommy Emmanuel was there this year, who was, as you can imagine, was incredible, and Trevor Gordon Hall and Callum Graham, and this year it was, had Yvette Young and Guitaro 5000, which was really a nice addition. And it's really about, there's no competition, but it's about learning
right.
from each other and a camaraderie among players, and it's really a blast.
I was going to ask you while we're talking talking guitar stuff too. They get mad at me if I don't ask what kind of guitar you play, or what's your favorite.
The one that I play the most, by far the most, is a Taylor 814 CE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nothing super exotic, but I love the gosh darn thing.
Do you have to have higher action to play how you do, or does it need to be lower?
Well, I like, you know, you can imagine, you know, growing up as an electric lead player, I'm not a high action guy. You know, so I like as close an action and still get the tone. Sometimes you can compromise tone from an acoustic standpoint, depending on how the action's set. But I like, and that's one of the things I like about Taylor's too, is the, it's just a wonderful, very playable neck.
Yeah.
And I like the tone of it too. And the other thing too with the 814 is that it does surprisingly well with the really deep tunings too. You can imagine you're tuning down to a D. I have a song on the first record that's a G sharp, and I don't have a baritone guitar.
Right.
So you get, you know, especially when you get down to a G sharp, you got to really use some finesse where it's a mess. But the 814 really does a good job with it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good, yeah, the guitar seems to tell you whether it wants to be tuned that way or not. The guitar almost will tell you that.
That's true.
I hope this genre takes off a little more, because like I mentioned Nick Johnson before, the reason why I mentioned him so much, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he does the style that you do, but he lives down in Provo, Utah. And like he's won all kinds of contests. He's all over toured the world. But he's driving a tractor most of the time during the week.
Right.
It's a travesty. There's other guys out here with gigs every night that are just playing Tom Petty songs, you know.
Right. I know. It's a wonderful genre to play. And honestly speaking, generally speaking, when people hear it, they like it.
Yeah.
But it's rare that it's someone's go-to.
I think part of the reason that is because there's a lot of visual element to it. Like if you don't see it, you may think there's two, three guitar players playing it.
Yeah.
And I've had
a few people that I've been talking to and I think you can, turn the lead up a little bit. I'm like, there's no lead. That was just my, you know, that's my third finger, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that, and honestly, that's from a fingerstyle guitar player standpoint, that's a real compliment.
Yeah, it really is.
And when people think that it's more than one guitar.
Yeah, there's a guy out here named Terrence Hansen. And he doesn't play what you guys do. He plays what they call crossneck guitar. I think he invented it. But the guitar is like an X shape. He had it kind of built where one neck's going across the other in an X. And he plays it like a piano. And it's crazy. He plays kind of like Stanley Jordan, if you know who he is. But with two guitar necks.
Right.
And it's incredible. Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's incredible what he does. But if you don't see it, you think it's a guy on keyboards, you know, you don't really.
Yeah.
And it's sad that, but he is booked all the time though. Maybe it's cause he does a lot of vocals too. That's what I was going to say too. The style you guys play, maybe at some point, if there's somebody can add some vocals into it, maybe, I don't know. That would help.
Yeah. I do sing sometimes. I mean, back in the day when I was writing with lyrics and you do get sort of transfixed when you're doing fingerstyle on really creating the whole thing on the guitar.
Yeah.
But I do sometimes sing. I'm not the greatest singer ever, but I usually play instrumental.
Yeah, it's hard enough just doing the separate melody lines, but I'll throw in another vocal one in there too. I was going to ask you one more thing, and I've kind of kept you a while here, and before I let you roll. But if there was somebody that was just going to start out in this style, and you could go back like 10 years when you started, what advice would you give somebody that wanted to go that route?
I would say, whether you already play guitar and you're going into this style, or you don't play guitar and you want to start this style, I would say that the number one thing is to celebrate every inch of progress that you make. Because it's so easy to look at like an Andy McKee or a Tommy Emmanuel or a Mike Dawes or Gordon Hall, whoever, Antoine Dufour, name the person, and you see what they're doing and it's so out of reach for you, it could feel like it's just, well, you'll never get there. And it doesn't mean that you will or will not ever get to the level that they are or the same as they are. But I think the thing that I felt really sort of kept me going is to celebrate every little new thing that you can do.
Oh, that's good advice. That's kind of like looking at it as climbing the ladder. As long as you're getting to the next step, instead of staying on the one, you're doing good.
Right. Yeah. Don't look at the top of the building. Just get to the next floor.
Right. That's good advice. Well, go ahead and give everybody all your we talked about it a little bit, but where everybody can find all your stuff. And you're on YouTube too.
Oh yeah. My YouTube channel is, unsurprisingly, Brian Ayer. So it's B-R-I-A-N. Last name is E as in Edward, Y-R-E. And there's more than one Brian Ayer channel, but it's the one with the guy playing fingerstyle guitar on it.
Yeah.
But, and then there's BrianAyerMusic.com. That's my website.
Okay.
And my Instagram is BrianAyerMusic. My Twitter is @BrianAyerMusic. And so Spotify, same name.
Yep.
And all the streaming services.
So you could probably just Google your name and then put fingerstyle guitar maybe beside it, and I bet it all come up.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd be very surprised if there was another one.
Yeah, and I had to, and I'll definitely always spell everybody's name again at the intro of the show, so I'll make sure the spelling is there and all. I had the same problem. There's like when I was I used to release stuff under Jeff Lawrence, and there's got to be 8 Jeff Lawrences out there that are musicians putting out stuff. And there's a famous comedian named Jeff Lawrence, like the president of IBM, I think. And so I just started putting out under my initials, under J.S. Lawrence, and seems to be a little better. But
distinctive.
Well, anyway, Brian, I can't thank you enough for calling in. I appreciate it. I know we were supposed to do this an hour or two from now, but I wanted to appreciate you jumping in here on short notice, and got a new fan in me. And a lot of my listeners are guitar players in Europe and Ireland, and pretty much everywhere you speak English at, they listen to this show. And I hope you'll grab some new fans. I'm sure you will.
And thank you, Jeff, so much for the invitation to be on. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, and I look forward to your release on, you said, August 20th. That's coming up. And I look forward to hearing that, and I will have you back on in a couple of months when everything's we'll figure out where this pandemic's going, if it's going to ramp back up or not.
Well, it sounds good, and thanks again.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
All right, you have a good evening, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you too. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Patient 2A. Robert Porter. How I wish I could say that Robert sat up one fine day and said, I'm hungry. Got any fruit? Like most catatonics, he probably hears every word we say but refuses or is unable to respond. Nevertheless, I keep him up to date. I said, I told you about Howie. He got that job at the public library. And Ernie, he's determined to be a crisis counselor. The only one we're really concerned about is Bess. You know, check halfway houses, shelters, churches, bus stops. Nothing. I don't understand. It's like people don't just disappear.
July 27th? You wouldn't happen to know anything about that, would you? Robert? No? Well, maybe it'll come now. Maybe you're ready. I'll be waiting.
Something, Mark. Something you do not yet know. But we Kipaxians have been around long enough to have discovered. The universe will expand. Then it will collapse back on itself. Then it will expand again. It will repeat this process forever. What you don't know is that when the universe expands again, everything will be as it is now. Whatever mistakes you make this time around, you will live through on your next pass. Every mistake you make, you will live through again and again forever. So my advice to you is to get it right this time around, because this time is all you have.
You're looking great, Michael.
So?
Good. How was your trip? Was it good?
Enjoyed the show today and the interview with Brian Iyer. Please go over to all his social media that he gave you and Spotify, SoundCloud, all those places. You listen to music, like, subscribe, follow. Same thing with the show here, Southern Man, Western Town. You can go listen to it on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get it, go. But make sure you like, subscribe, follow. Same thing with my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is brand new because I had to do away with my other ones. They're all still on there, but I can't really log them into them anymore. So just find me on there, Jeff Lawrence, Music Podcast and Lessons on YouTube. Make sure you like, subscribe, and follow, though, definitely. And you can go over to the Facebook page, Southern Man Western Town Podcast. You can go to my website, thejslawrence.com. For all my dates, coming up, and all my music is under J.S. Lawrence or Jeff Lawrence. I'm going to have a new one coming out soon in September, a new song. It's going to be something I've never done before. It's like a hip-hop song, but instrumental guitar. I'll keep you posted on that, so I'm pretty excited about it. Anyway, I hope you guys, hope we don't have to shut down again. I got to get people, I don't know how it is everywhere else. I'm assuming it's close to the same, and I guess it's worse in conservative states where I live. People bitching about wearing the mask, and they won't get vaccinated, so now all our hospitals are back to 100%. And, you know, you hear all these stupid stories. I'm not going to listen to somebody on Facebook tell me not to get vaccinated. First of all, I already did get vaccinated, but I'm going to listen to the doctor before I'm going to listen to some person that's just, I don't know where they're getting their information from. I'm sure they're reading, you know, I'm sure you can find a doctor that says don't do it. But, I mean, face-to-face with my doctor, he's saying to do it. I guess I'm going to listen to him. I mean, that's what he went to college for. So, and I got it in back in March. I didn't have any. I got sick the day after, but not really any problems since then. And I haven't had COVID. So for me, seems to be working. But now I don't know. Still, all of our hospitals in Utah here are back to 100% in capacity, and it's 90 in the ICUs. That is, and it's like 90% people that are unvaccinated. So it don't take a brain surgeon, folks. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it, but do what you got to do to keep things open again. We don't want to close down again, do we? Then all you'll have to do is listen to this podcast all the time. you want to go out. You want to do shit. Anyway, I hope I see you guys at the shows next weekend. I probably won't talk to you on another episode before then. My other show, The New Vaudeville, my podcast for Guitar Theory, is I've only got 2 episodes up. I really haven't pursued doing too much with that yet. Didn't take off with a big response, but I didn't think it would anyway. I mean, it's Guitar Theory. And the problem with Guitar Theory podcasts is a lot of times, or even the videos or whatever, because I do it on YouTube too, is that the people, either people already know what I'm teaching because they're already advanced guitarists, or they're guitarists that think they know it all and they don't need to know it, or they're guitarists that aren't advanced enough to get to that particular lesson. So it's a small niche. Anyway, I'm about to sneeze, so I better sign off here. Anyway, you guys take it easy, and I'll talk to you on the next show. And thanks again, Brian Eyre. Great music. Keep it up.
See you next week. Same bad time, same bad station.